get a little bit of background about your group.
Okay.
Patchwork.
Okay, Patchwork started as a mini course at Sutton Middle School, grades 5 through 8. And Mary Alltop had come to Braxton County and taught some clogging classes at the high school.
Who was that?
Mary Alltop from Troy.
Mary Alltop.
And I didn't have any practice time, didn't have anybody to practice with, and we had some kids that did square dancing. And I thought, well, this would just add to that. And we had picked up some steps in square dancing, but we couldn't do them. So we thought the clogging would help us. So we all got together and practiced during mini course. And the kids decided they just didn't want to do that in a classroom forever. They wanted to perform. So the following year, we started the Town Hill Cloggers at the school, and the children that took the mini course did it with the intent of performing. So from there, we have grown into Patchwork. And we chose that name because we've tried to vary our dancing till it covers different forms. We've tried some contra, some folk, and square dance. We do the clogging, and we're trying to get into a lot more traditional types of dancing.
Mm-hmm. And there's a wide range of ages from
grade 1 through 9.
Okay. Have you ever done anything with Garland before?
Yes, Garland came up in December and workshopped the children for about 3 hours. It snowed so bad that we had to stop the workshop, and we were a little short. But he worked with them in the Appalachian running set and precision square dancing and did a very fine job with them.
So that's what he's into, is precision clogging.
Well, he does precision and freestyle.
Precision and freestyle.
Yes. Yes.
And he... he was telling me some on the phone about the group he is president of, which lives online.
It's the National Clogging and Hoedown Council or something like that.
And they have regional
yes
competitions, I guess.
They have workshops and competitions. Uh-huh. Yes.
Now, have your attention, please, for a couple of announcements. There'll be no T-ball practice for the Sutton Silver Bullets this evening. I repeat. No T-ball practice for Sutton Silver Bullets this evening. They will practice on Tuesday. Also, the Sutton Cubs T-ball practice has been canceled. The next practice will be Tuesday, May 16th. And I repeat, the Sutton Cubs T-ball practice has also been canceled. Their next practice will be Tuesday, May
16th. Let's see. Is he going to, he's getting the application now.
We filled out our part, and I mailed you that part that we had already filled out. So you would have it in your hands.
Oh, you mailed that up to
I mailed it to Elkins. And we have our part all filled out and several sheets that were attached, so you would have all the information.
Okay, now what is Garland?
Garland is filling out his part on the front of the original application.
Okay.
But I thought you might need it.
So you sent him that part?
Yes, I sent him the application and the brochures that you sent me.
Yeah, as long as I told him, as long as I got it by the Monday or Tuesday next week, I'd be able to get it in. Let's see. Have you two talked together about how you're going to set up?
He's to arrange that. I told him we would furnish the building, we would see that the children were there and behaved. Mm-hmm. And he was to check his calendar and work us in. Yes.
Okay. Just so he was aware.
Yes.
All right. I don't know. From talking with him, I made a lot of notes over the phone. I'm going to write up just a little overview of the whole thing, you know. And what's going to happen is there's be a panel meeting on the 24th of this month, and some people will be coming in from out of state. And they're going to review the applications and approve so many of them, you know, whatever the budget will allow. So,
are there a lot of applications?
I think there'll be about a dozen, and probably half of them will get approved.
Okay.
So, unless I can think.
Invite them here to teach us or to come to something we have. There's always an excuse. They won't give us a price. And we even asked Jeff Driggs to write a letter of recommendation for some of our children to go with Rush Butcher, and didn't even get an answer from him. So the kids were very upset because we have gone to everything that they have invited us to. Mm-hmm. but we just can't seem to pull people down here for the instruction.
Have you ever gone to a, are you still, you mentioned something about going to a competition. You're working towards that?
We don't compete right now. Mm-hmm. We do this as a leisure time activity because the kids enjoy the square dancing every week here in the county. And mm-hmm. that's kind of how, you know, that yeah. kind of got us started.
Right.
The competition, there's enough jealousy with middle school children the way it is.
Uh-huh.
And I'm afraid the competition would just ruin the team.
Uh-huh.
Now, we have three or four girls who right now are in advanced and could compete with some training.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that Garland will push them towards that because that's what he's into.
Have you ever attended the competitions?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the format's like.
Well, we had gone to Cedar Lakes last year to a Clogging and Hoedown camp that Jeff Driggs hosted.
Uh-huh.
And there were teachers and people there from Kentucky, South Carolina, all over the place. And most of them were buck dancers, and our kids were just blown out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they didn't even want people like us coming again because we slowed them down. And
right.
we wanted to square dance and do our things that we normally do, and they did not want us to interrupt their buck dancing. And they had competition, and the children all participated. But in buck dancing, the music is slowed down. What we would normally dance on 45 or 48 is slowed down to about 42.
Uh-huh.
So our children looked like they were moving in slow motion.
Uh-huh.
So they were very distressed
mm-hmm.
because they just hadn't had that experience.
So they're working on some buck dancing. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Jeff had a beginner's buck class at camp,
uh-huh.
and they've picked up some here and there, and they're mm-hmm. adding it to what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, we haven't been able to get an instructor to come here to teach us that either.
Right. Well, hopefully, we'll see. That would be good.
But we've had the kids all over the state, and we're willing to go just about anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And we do go to get the instruction.
Yeah. Okay. Snyder. Tell me the story about that Ed Snyder. You were telling me about Ed Snyder, played the fiddle,
yeah.
and got religion too. And how? What happened there?
Well, he got he joined church, and he was down in Charleston, and he joined church, and I guess the church that he belonged to was sort of kind of against music. They had the idea that it was harm to go out and play music, play for a dance, especially. And Ed was asked to play with dancers, of course, about two or three times a week. And he just couldn't hardly resist. And he said that he just decided that he just put a stop to it, and he just cut his fingers off. And so he did. He just went out and laid his hand on a block and cut the ends of his fingers off. And after seeing what a went on for a while, and he seen what a mistake he'd made, what a fool he was, that there wasn't any harm in playing music. But then he got back and he got so he could still play pretty good. Not as good as he did before, but he's still within stubs. He's still done a pretty good job. I heard him before, and I heard him after. And so Ed played the fiddle from that time on until he got killed. And he went one night, he'd been with somebody and had played for a dance and was on the way back home. And the fellow wrecked up there, all not too far from Webster Springs there somewhere. I don't know just exactly the spot. But he wrecked and went in the river. And he got out. And when he come to himself, somebody got there and got him. And They thought he was by himself. And the fellow was driving the car. And they didn't know Ed was with him. And Ed went in the river and was drowned. And when he came to himself in the hospital, he said, "How's Ed?" And they said, "What, Ed who?" I said, "Ed Snyder said he was with me." They said, "We didn't see nobody." So they went back and went down the river a little ways from where the car was and found him drowned.
Where did he live, Ed Snyder?
He lived up there somewhere around the mouth of Holly there somewhere. He's got, somebody told me that he had a brother that, him and his brother lived together. I don't think Ed was ever married, not that I know of. And him and his brother just, I think just Bass lived up there together. And I think, as far as I know, his brother still lives up there. Now, I never saw his brother. I never met him. And, but somebody told me that, I believe Boris Jones told me that, his brother lived up there.
How long ago did he do all that? Did he cut the fingers off? Is that years and years ago?
It's been quite some time.
Fifties.
Wouldn't know just how to make really a guess on it, as far as, but it's been quite some time. You can't hardly believe what you see and what you hear about what people do about things like that. Now, Uncle Jack, like I told you, he quit. He joined church, and he thought the fiddle was harm, and he quit playing. He didn't do himself any harm, you know, or anything like that, like Ed did. But he quit playing, and he didn't play a note there for I forget how many years it was, but it was a long time. And he got back to playing by. Morton, the boy, was just a young boy there, and he got the pruner out of the fiddle, and of course Uncle Jack could just twist and squirm, you know, the mistakes that he was making, and he wanted to show him, and he wouldn't let himself do it. So finally he couldn't stand it any longer, and so he got to show him, Morton, on the fiddle, what to do, how to do it, and by doing that, he got started back playing himself. And I think after he kind of thought the thing over, seeing how foolish he was, he felt kind of ashamed of himself, so he continued to play from that time on until he died. And Morton, Morton, poor fellow, when he grew up, he had a pretty bad drinking habit. Warden never did learn to play much. He saw it around one, but he never got to be a very good fiddler. He took off of Jack's fiddle. I think I told you about that. He took off of Jack's fiddle down and gave it to Bud and Pudge Mays.
He did.
Down Clarksburg to sell for him. He was on WBOY there every day then. And they'd play it, and they'd tell them.
On the air?
On the air, whose fiddle it was. It was for sale, and God, I don't know why somebody didn't grab it. I don't know why I didn't grab it myself, as far as that's concerned. And so they didn't sell it, but they kept it down there and didn't bring it back. And I guess they thought maybe kind of a fellow Warden was, he'd eventually just let him have it. But he didn't do it. they quit after so long a time, they quit even advertising it, trying to sell it. But they kept it, and they played it on television.
Did you ever know them, Budge and Fudge Mays?
Oh, yeah.
They grew up out here?
Yeah. Grew up out there on the far end of the ridge.
Marsh
and Ridge. Born and raised out there, yeah. Yeah.
What kind of kin are they to Jack Mays?
I think Jack and them was... I'm not sure about that, but I think they were second cousins. Might have been first. Either first or second cousin. I don't know. I think second cousin. Warden went down there and got the fiddle, and Daisy, my older sister, just happened to, she was driving a cab at that time down at Carsbury, and of course they met the train and met the bus, you know. At that time, of course, the passenger train was running on that road. And she went to the depot and meet the train. And Warden wondered if what street they lived on. But anyway, he knew where the Mays boys was. And asked her, and they got to talking. And he told her who he was, where he lived. And of course, we had an uncle lived up there. And of course, she asked him about Uncle Jake. Well, of course, he knew him real well. So they, right now, they hit it up a good conversation, you know. And she took him on out there the way he was going. And he got his fiddle, and she took him, I think, back over to catch the... I think she took him back over to Glen Elk the station to catch the evening train going back up to Rebecca. And he had the fiddle then, of course, until after the warden died.
Did Budge and Fudge Mays, did they ever make any records?
No, I thought they did. And I asked somebody, they said yes, they had made a record. And so I got to inquiring around, and I couldn't find no trace of any record, or not even a tape that they made.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish they had it. I wish you could have. They were pretty good musicians. I'll tell you that.
Fiddle and guitar, is that what they played?
Yeah, they played guitar and guitar. They had awful good time together, and Budge wasn't the best fiddler I ever heard, as far as that's concerned, by any means. He was a good fiddler, all right, as far as that's concerned. He played them old tunes, and mm-hmm. Done a pretty good job.
They sing a lot?
Yeah, they sang good together. They had awful good time. They both was in the service, and both had a pretty rough time in the service. And neither one was what they was before they went to service. Mm-hmm. After that, they was back on radio and played on radio, but they just wasn't playing. It was just something there that they did have that they didn't have when they.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever come back here to live then, or did they?
Yeah, they come back. They lived. I think both of them. Both of them at the time they died, they lived at Clarksburg. And they were playing there. They played there on WBOY. Mm-hmm. They had a program. They was on once or twice. I believe they was on. When they died, I believe they was on twice a day,
mm-hmm.
morning and evening, or night. And I'm pretty sure that I was told that they had a record, that they had made a record, but they didn't. Because I didn't get to talk to his wife and myself in person, but Daisy, I believe it was, my older sister, talked to her, and she said that they never made a record. I just can't figure it out why they didn't, because they was playing there for a long time, and didn't seem like anybody even had a tape of them. I don't know why they didn't have, at least have some tapes, but they didn't.
Did you ever think?
I went up to the hospital to see you. Probably. And I seemed to be doing all right, seemed to be in pretty good shape. He talked, and we talked about playing music and so forth and so on. I visited him quite a little while, and a couple of days or something like that after that, he died. And then the oldest boy, the one who played the fiddle, he lived there just back of the factory there where I worked. And I went to work one morning and went up to the warehouse and, where we were going to work. And somebody, I forget now who that was, said he knew the guy, because I know the manager boy real well. And he said that, did you know that Buddy Mays died last night? I said, well, Lord, no. And he did, like I said, just back to the pretty close factory. And I said, what happened? He said, well, he didn't know. He said, of course, he knew he hadn't been sick. And he hadn't. Both of them just died suddenly.
Now, which one played the fiddle?
Budge.
Budge.
Yeah.
Budge played the guitar. What was their real names, do you know?
Paul and Paul was the oldest boy, the one who played the fiddle. And I can't think of that other boy, real name. They when they came out of, like I said, when they come out of the service, they just wasn't the same. They just didn't play like they did before they went in the service. They both was in combat, and they weren't wounded. I don't know if they didn't get any wounds, but they just done something to them. They just to talk to them, you know, like just meet them and talk to them. They didn't have the life that they, you know, like they had before. It seemed like that they were just, just like they just wasn't interested in anything or anybody or nothing. Mm-hmm. They were just different.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good. They were some good musicians for the years. Like I say, they wasn't as good after the division service, but they still played. We come up one night, me and Carl come up in Clarksville up to the home place, and they was having a dance down at the Moof Club. And Bud and Fudge was going to play. And we went down and was dancing over top of the, having to dance over top of the drugstore there. And we went up to dance. And, they was about ready to start dancing. We went up there. So they danced a couple sets. And Bud came back and said, Ernie, said, how about you and Carl playing with that wrestler. And I said, oh, I'd rather just be thoughtless. And he said, no, he said, I'm just not feeling very good. And I said, well, we'll play and set it to the party. We did. We played all three or four sets. And they just didn't play like they once did, and they just wasn't the same boys. Mm-hmm. And wasn't very long after that till the book did. Mm-hmm.